Sunday called Are You Ready? And we talked about being prepared and how important it is in the hour that we are now in. Let me just let you know ahead of time, next Sunday I'll have our study notes for this message today and for last Sunday. That way you can go home and kind of chew on it. And that way if you have some questions, you can write it down and get with me when you can. And maybe we'll talk about it. I promise you, I do not know everything there is to know about the end time. And, as I shared last Sunday, I cannot remember bringing a series on the end times. We have certainly preached that the Lord is coming. We've certainly preached we need to be ready, and but never just a pinpointed, precise word about the end time. But we're beginning to do that. I think it's going to take more than May, but we will see about that. We certainly want to touch on some subjects. We'll be talking in the days to come about the Antichrist. The Bible talks about that. He will come on the scene. You got to know he's alive and well on the earth today. We want to talk about the third temple that's about to be built. Everything is in place, ready to be built, and that's a fulfillment of Scripture. And so we'll be talking about that today. But let's just get in to see what the Lord has for us today. Amen? All right. Again, last week we talked about being prepared. Today I want to talk about the signs of the last days. The signs of the last days. And I believe now more than ever that we have entered the greatest hour for the church, where we are carrying out God's will, Brandon, and his purpose for our lives to the fullest. And you've got to understand, my prayer has been for some time now, Lord, I want to fulfill every purpose that you have for my life before my time is up. Listen, we need to know this. And two, it doesn't hurt to be reminded that if you are a child of God, if you have asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and you have made him your Lord and your Savior, then as part of the family of God, you are safe in his hands or in his arms. Can you say amen? No devil in hell can snatch you out. Now, how many know we can make a choice to walk out from under that umbrella of protection? But he will never abandon us. He'll never leave us. And if you're doing your homework assignment that Brandon gave us last Wednesday night, as we read Psalm 91, the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night, Asher's memorizing it with me as he lays on the bed beside me, my puppy dog, and you can see his tail just going like that. So I don't know if he really knows what I'm saying, but he's getting the word in him. How's that? You'll know that we do not have to, after reading Psalm 91 as we're doing, you got to know that we do not have to live our lives in fear or dread. How many know that? The Lord God promises to take care of us. No virus can take us out. Amen? If we will keep our trust in him, keep our eyes and our heart fixed on him, he promises to keep us safely under his wings. Amen? Even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of evil, even in the midst of terror all around us, we have that promise from his word, and how many know God does not lie? And as Brandon said Wednesday night, we have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And yes, every one of us is relevant. Amen. You are significant. You are important. And as a believer, you are an ambassador for the King of Kings, meaning that you represent the King everywhere you go. And how many know we're to shine? brightly into a dark world. We have that light within us. And so if you missed Wednesday night, I encourage you to go back, listen to that word that Brandon preached about being relevant in this hour. And as I said last Sunday, it is so important now that we understand the times that we are now in. The question that we are asking, or the questions that we are asking, is what are the things to expect in these last days? How do I know for sure what is to come? Can I just tell you that it's through the Holy Spirit that you can know? The Lord will lead you in His Word, and from that Word you will know the right place to be and the right things to do for you and your family, because as a believer, everything we need to know, guess what, is in the Word. Jesus' words, it is written, is the only thing that will guide us through the days and the weeks to come in these last days. This is a time like no other. And I believe we are living in the last generation, that final decade on earth. And that's why it is so critical to understand everything the Scriptures say, because not only will the Scripture give us a timeline, but they will give us the events, listen, that will take place, so we will know this is that. This is that. Now, when we look at events and we look at Scripture, especially in Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up on that day of Pentecost and he preached his sermon, he said these words to the crowd, and it's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. He said, this is that. This is that. Now, why did he say it? Because it is written. Because it was written. Because the time had come, and he was telling the people, this is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. He said, this day, this Scripture is fulfilled. In the same way, we're living in the days when biblical predictions that were given thousands of years ago are being fulfilled today. Can you say amen? And we need to know those predictions so that when we see the event take place, we will be able to say, like Peter, this is that which was spoken of by the prophets of old, like Joel or Daniel or Isaiah, all of those prophets in the Old Testament. Because all the things, listen, that God wants us to do has been already revealed in His Word. And I'm talking today again about the signs of the last days. Everything that God wants us to do or to be aware of in terms of the dangers that we will face in these last days, He has told us. Because I believe He wants us, guess what, to stay a step ahead. Stay a step ahead of the enemy. And He has explained them and He has written them so that we as the people of God will be prepared for the greatest time of history. The most exciting time is when you know what time it is and you know what the call of God is and what the purposes are that God has for each one of us to carry out in this hour. There really is then a reason why He has brought you and I into the kingdom for such a time as this. And the only way then to navigate forward is by the leading of the Holy Spirit and what God has written for us in His Word. We can walk through the Scriptures and find that there is a biblical blueprint to the ages so we can know the business of the kingdom. How many wants to know the business of the kingdom? Amen. And I said this last week, and it's just as important today. We need to realize that not not that the only thing that matters at this moment is the will of God. I said it's the will of God. It's knowing His will and fulfilling His call, Sister North, upon our lives. Not doing what other people want you to do. How many know there's a lot of folks who tell you what you need to do? Not doing what you think you should do, but asking God what it is He wants you to do. What is it, Lord, that You have called me to do in this hour, to be involved with? Why? Because time is of the essence, and time is important. And yes, time matters. Would you look at your neighbor and tell him, time is of the essence. The Apostle Paul said, we must redeem the time, for the days are evil. Those days are upon us where it is imperative, again, I can't say it enough, that we be led by the Holy Spirit. But guess what? If you're not praying, if you're not speaking to the Word, you won't know. I'm talking about, again, being led and taking it one day at a time. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But I'm telling you, the Lord will lead you today. He'll guide you today. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to show you everything that you're going to need. And all we have to do is ask. And I believe that He is waiting to show us everything that we need to do in this hour. Can you say amen? Again, we are now living in the best of times in the kingdom of God. Yet, it is the worst of times in the world. And because of that, we need to be prayed up and filled up and again led by the Spirit of God. How many know that's important? We need to seek the Lord with our whole heart and with all of our strength, because these are the days that spoken of that the prophets of old spoke about. God has a plan for the ages, and we are a part of that plan. God has an assignment that He wants each and every one of us to fulfill. And because of that, He wants you to know the timeline. Now, in 712 B.C., and again, remember, I'll have you clean your notes next Sunday. You're welcome to drop anything you need down today. In 712 B.C., God declared these words to us through the prophet Isaiah, recorded for us in the book of Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. Declaring the end from the beginning. Understand? That's how it works. You say that's how it works. It's the alpha and the omega. It's the beginning and the end. And here He is declaring now the end from the beginning. Listen, He has a plan for everything that's going to happen from the beginning to the end. And here we see Him saying, He's declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. That means as people of God, as saints of the Most High, we are walking into a future that has already been pre-recorded. We are walking into a future that has already been defined for me and you. He says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God is simply saying, I said it, and I'm going to do it. We can take Him at His word, can we not? If He said it, guess what? He's going to do it. He tells us what's going to happen so we will be prepared, so we will be a step ahead, so we will be able then to fulfill our calling. Please understand something with me this morning, and again, I can't say it enough. The only way that we're going to be able to know the mind of God in this hour and understand His purpose for us is if we are prayed up and we stay filled up with Him. So here is what God spoke through the prophet Daniel. It says in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10, "Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." In these last days, listen, you have to know there is a remnant, a group of believers around the world who desire to the deep things of God and who are sold out for Jesus. Do we have any sold out folks today? And who are listening with spiritual ears what the Spirit is saying concerning the last days. They are getting prayed up and they are getting ready for the coming of the King of Kings. They're getting purified and made white as snow without spot or wrinkle, and they're allowing themselves then to be refined. I'm talking now about a victorious and militant church. That's His body called the church that He is raising up in these last days. The Scripture goes on to say, "But the wicked shall do wickedly." We could say that includes even those in the church who have allowed themselves to be compromised. And they're double-minded now, and they're riding the fence, not sure what they believe. It says, "And none of the wicked shall understand." You try to tell them these are the last days and that these are the signs of the end time and that we are in the last decade, the decade of the coming of the King. And guess what? Yet they cannot understand it. You can tell them and you can plead with them. You can show them from Scripture. But sadly, they will not get it. Why is that? Because God said they won't understand it. Now, this next part is for the remnant, those seeking the Lord, those fearing the Lord, when it says, "But the wise shall understand." Listen, we will understand. We will understand the things that are about to take place on the earth. Even though this setting was in 536 B.C., Daniel is speaking about us, predicting that in the last days there will be a people that understand, and there will be a people who won't understand concerning the events that are taking place in our lives and in our families' lives. In 30 A.D., Jesus is speaking. And He says in Mark chapter 13 and verse 23, "But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand." In other words, God has told us everything that we need to know in this hour. He said, "I've told you all things." That means there's nothing still hidden that you will not understand. That means everything concerning this season that we are in. He tells us everything that's going to happen and when it's going to happen. That means every detail concerning the end game He has given to us in Scripture. Why? So we are living in these days. So we who are living in these days will understand what season we are in. That's why Jesus said, I have told you all things. We can know that all the pieces of the puzzle are written in the Word of God, and they do come together. He told us when the end times would begin. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 26, Jesus tells us this, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man." When we go to Genesis chapter 6 then, we find out what God said about the days of Noah. This is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. Listen to what he said. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. We know now that after the flood, God shortened man's lifespan. Man did not live as long as he did before the flood. Some say this 120 years was now to be the length of the age of man. We also know from the time God gave Noah the word to build the ark to the very time that they entered the ark, it was 120 years. And then from Jesus' words, then from Luke 17, we know that the end of days will be 120 years. Now stay with me. Jesus gives us a sign to show the beginning of the 120 years. He said it this way, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man." And he reveals that then on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. We find where the Apostle Peter stands up. They've come out of the upper room, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. People thought they were drunk. People thought they were full of new wine. He said, "No, this is only the third hour of the day. They're not drunk as you suppose." Amen. The Apostle Peter stands up and he reveals the sign to the end of times, which again, remember, it was 120 years as it was in the days of Noah. He then quotes the prophet Joel and he says in Acts 2:17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." I know some of y'all are old because you've told me the dreams that you've been dreaming, okay? Amen, amen. Meaning, this will come to pass in the last days, at the beginning of the last days, as it was in the days of Noah, again, 120 years. And we find then, watch this, in 1906 at Azusa Street in California, God fulfilled Scripture. It came to pass just as it says in the Scripture. He poured out His Spirit on a group who were hungry for God. And guess what? God came down. It says at one point they were sitting in their chairs and the power of God fell upon them. You've got to understand, it was had been hundreds of years of darkness. God had not manifested His Spirit. But in 1906, a group of hungry people who had been praying, the power of God came upon them. One place it says that they were sitting in their chairs and the power of God knocked them to the floor and they began to speak in other tongues, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Miracles took place. You can read it. You can Google it. William Seymour, a little black pastor, a little black minister, had just one eye. He was hungry for God. God used him greatly. He said he would come out and he would sit there with a box on top, over his head. And then at a certain time, he'd take that box off. And I'm telling you, the miracles began to happen all over the room. Limbs came back and extended. Blind eyes were opened. Awesome times. God came down and He did it in a mighty way. God said it. It came to pass in 1906, 120 years, watch this, before the end of days. So what do we do with 1906? We add 120 years to that. What do we get? You can add it. 2026. We're talking about precision timing. We're talking about God preparing His people to know the time and the season of His coming. so that we may be found faithful in these last days. No, we will not know the day or the hour of His return. He's told us that. We find that in Scripture. But we can know the season. In fact, the Bible says that that time will be shortened for the elect's sake, because it's going to be so bad. Because if He left us here, there would be, the Bible says there wouldn't be a soul left. So He's going to shorten even that time. You have to know there is much confusion and there's disagreement in the body of Christ today surrounding the time of Jesus' return. And I believe it's because many do not know what time it is, and they do not know what to expect. Here we are now. We are in the place then that precedes the end of time as we know it on the earth. Now, I've given you just one short little timeline. There's many others. I gave you one last Sunday. We'll look at some others in Scripture as we go along. We can call it a plight, or we can call it a predicament, because that's what it is. That place in time that precedes the end of times. It means a dilemma. It means a difficult place. It can mean dire circumstances, a perplexity, a quandary, a mess, a crisis, if you will, troublesome times. We're in that place that precedes the end of time as we know it on earth. With that said, this global pandemic, understand, is a plight that precedes the end of time. And I believe we're now living in the final days of the final days, according to Scripture. And much of the church does not know what time it is. We have to understand that it is written is all that matters. God said it, and He is fulfilling it. And those who seek Him will understand these things, because, again, they are written for us. Again, that was in 30 AD that Jesus prophesied what would take place in 1906. You can see then the events happening at that point in the way God said it would happen to fulfill what He said. He said, I'll tell you the end from the beginning. From ancient times, I will reveal the end. So, let's begin. Let's look at some other remarkable events that took place from prophecy in Scripture. I want to give you some examples, that things that have already taken place, to lay some groundwork this morning. In 712 BC, God revealed what would take place in 1917. I'm talking about precise predictions that are in the Scripture written for us as children of the King. Are y'all okay? You're going to stay with me for just a little while. In 712 BC, God speaks to Isaiah about an event in 1917. Here is what Isaiah wrote, recorded in Isaiah 31 and verse 5. Look at it. Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, He will also deliver it. Passing over, He will preserve it. This was a prophecy given to Isaiah in 712 BC, fulfilled in 1917. Now here's what we could call the backstory. Are you ready? In the First World War, the British found themselves fighting against the fading Ottoman Empire. In 1917, a British general by the name of Allenby was charged with liberating Jerusalem. He expressed concern about the magnitude of the request to his superiors, because, you see, he had been ordered to take the city without firing on the people or the city itself. Now, how on earth could that be done in a war? And so history tells us General Allenby prayed. And guess what? God answered his prayer. as he prayed for the plan, he came across a book written by a Bible scholar back in 1898, just a few years earlier, who studied prophecies concerning Israel. This scholar by the name of Aldersmith wrote in his book that he believed Jerusalem would be delivered by Great Britain in 1917. He had become convinced from reading Isaiah 31 and 5. He also saw verse 4, which talks about the lion, that the UK would have a part to play in the restoration of Jerusalem, and that it would be accomplished. Here's what he wrote in his book, 1898. It would be accomplished by some kind of flying machine. Understand that Aldersmith had arrived at this idea even before the Wright brothers had taken their first flight in 1903. Airplanes had not even been invented. But of course, that is precisely what ended up happening. 14 years later, in 1917, airplanes were used, but not commonly, and most people had never seen one, history says. This man's conviction about Isaiah 31 was General Allenby's inspiration, and really it was the answer to his prayer. He would fly planes over Jerusalem, and he would drop hundreds of pamphlets written in Arabic saying, "Surrender the city." And he signed it Allenby. And so when the Turks, the Muslim people, picked them up off the ground, the pamphlets looked as if they had said, "Surrender the city." Al-Nabi, which means the prophet. So as the first planes flew over Jerusalem, the story goes, and as the general flew over the city, the whole Ottoman army laid down their weapons, mistakenly believing that Allah had willed it, and they began to leave the city all through the night. By morning, history says, they were gone, and the mayor surrendered the city. God delivered Jerusalem. So like the birds flying about Isaiah, somebody needs to turn their phone off. So like the birds flying about Isaiah, wrote, that's how precise prophecy is. Guess what? Our God is a God of history. History is His story, Sister North. We serve an awesome God. Can you say amen? Amen. And so as you see what God has done down through the ages, and you follow the prophetic predictions, you see that precision in Scripture. In 580 B.C., we see another prediction of an event that would take place in 1947. In 580, Ezekiel prophesies about an event that would take place in 1947 and 1948. Here it is in Ezekiel 36, verses 24 and 25. "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your idols." So the Jews, you have to understand, had been scattered across the nation for ages. In 1947, the UN made a resolution to create a homeland for the Jewish people in their ancient land after nearly 2,000 years. This prophecy was to be fulfilled in 1948, May 14th, when Israel was reborn. The Jews gathered back in their ancient land, and they declared Israel their homeland. And God said something that is to come, that there would be first a natural gathering, but then a spiritual gathering. Verse 24 again, "I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all those countries, and bring you into your own land." We see that the natural happened just as Scripture said it would. Now the next big thing to be fulfilled in this prophecy is part two, the spiritual rebirth, a spiritual revival. How many know Israel itself needs to be revived. Amen. Ezekiel 36 and 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. There is coming a revival, I believe, unprecedented in human history to Israel. Paul writes about this in Romans 11, 26. He says that all Israel would be saved. And so all Israel will be saved. As we read, it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So we have seen then the first natural part fulfilled and the second spiritual part will be fulfilled. Why? Because God said it would, Sister Nora. If God said it, guess what? We can believe it. We really are living in the last days. And I believe we will see it and the whole world will stand in awe as they see the power of God come upon Israel in a revival and in transformation. And that hour is upon us. Guess what? God fulfills His prophecies. Remember, God said He would show us the end from the beginning. And I believe we are seeing the end being fulfilled before our eyes. Supernatural events taking place. Listen, this could have never happened in the natural. There's never been a people scattered for almost 2,000 years and then gather back together and become a nation again and speak the same language. All right, here's another example. A prophecy given in 518 B.C. It happened in 1967. In 518 B.C., God spoke to the prophet Zechariah through an angel. And it's recorded for us in Zechariah chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, and there was the angel who talked with me going out. And another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. What he was saying was that all of Jerusalem shall be inhabited again by the Jewish people. It happened in 1967 when the Arab world aligned themselves against Israel. They declared a war on Israel, in fact, to exterminate them, to wipe out the Jewish people for once and all. Not knowing that it is written that God said, I will be your God and I will protect you. Listen, He's got a covenant with His people. And in 1967, at the end of the 6 days, Egypt, Syria, and Jordan experienced a humiliating defeat. And really, history says they've never gotten over it. The Israel army took over all of Jerusalem by the power of Almighty God. And guess what? There are still stories being shared of the miracles that God did for His people in just those 6 days. Listen, God stands behind His word to perform it. That's who our God is. He said it would come to pass. And guess what? It came to pass. Need I remind every one of us, we can take God at His word. He will not fail you. He will not abandon you in the hour of need. Again, He says, I will tell you the end from the beginning. I will not fail you. I will answer you when you call. I will fight for you. I will protect you. I will deliver you. I will be your God. I will meet your needs. Would you tell the person beside you, that's our God. That's our God. His name is Jesus. Now we come to the hour that we're living in. What are the predictions for the hour that we're in? What are the things we need to know about? What are the things we need to prepare for? We need to know because we will be participating in them. In Luke chapter 21, verses 9 and 10, I'm trying to hurry. We touched on this last week where we find Jesus saying these words, "But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." These are predictions pertaining to the last decade on earth, the decade that we are now living in. And what I believe, everybody has their own opinions, and that's fine. But what I've come to believe personally, that these are the last 7 years. In the last Shemitah, the 70th week of Daniel, and we talked about that last week. You can get that. If you missed it, you can get that. Watch it on YouTube. Jesus says there will be wars and commotions. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We are seeing that in the Middle East right now as we speak. We're seeing that in the South China Sea as we speak. We are seeing that in the Baltic region because the Bible says that will happen. It means that we are headed toward the final confrontation on the earth with the greatest battles ever to be fought. We are moving towards then the final showdown between the East and the West, with China and Russia uniting against America and its allies known as NATO. It's a conflict around the globe because the Bible says it's going to happen before the end. And understand, that's not the Battle of Armageddon I'm talking about, but it's coming. It's the Third World War that is coming. And then we have the global economic crisis that is looming around us that will lead, you've got to understand, to a total disintegration of society. Understand that this is all part of the end days because it is the end of time and God tells us it's going to happen. It is written for us to know. Now, personally, I would like to be out of here by this afternoon or this evening. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until I hear that trumpet sound, we're going to do His will. We're going to continue to work. Amen? Everything that can be shaken, the Bible says, will be shaken. A political shaking, a financial shaking, an economic shaking, because we are living at the end of the ages and we're coming to the end of days. And that's why, guess what? You need to know what God has called you to do in this hour. We all need to know the plan and the purposes of God for our lives. Because, listen now, our only security will be for us to stay in the center of God's will. Are you hearing me today? We will not make it if we don't know the will of God for our lives. The truth is this, nothing is going to work as it did in the past. You've got to know that. Everything is changing. The world is changing. Through this pandemic, everything is changing, and it's all by design to usher in the one world government. The Bible talks about it. Nothing will ever go back to what it is known as normal. You've got to realize that. And what that does then is put you and I in a place where we will have to know our God. You will have to know God for yourself. Mama can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it for you. That means listening when He speaks. Walking with Him on a daily basis. Learning to wait upon Him. Understand, we are coming to a time where even our money will be worthless, moving us into a cashless society. They've already been trying that. Here, what, a few months back, last year, you drive up, they didn't want your coins, did they? They didn't want to give you change back. They're working their way to a cashless society. It's a time of great darkness. But in all of this, I want you to know that there's some good news. And the Lord tells us so through Isaiah, again, through His prophets. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. In fact, I'll just tell you this kind of personal thing. This is what is on my wife's headstone on the very back. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amen. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord, everybody say, but the Lord, will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. Can I just tell you that today, God wants to anoint each and every one of us with fresh oil. It wasn't by chance that Brother North came up here and anointed these folks with oil. Understand, the greater the darkness, the greater the anointing. The greater the crisis, the greater the presence of God is with you, because guess what? He's going to lead you through everything. And that, again, is a promise that we have. Isaiah tells us so. 43:2 of Isaiah. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. We have nothing to dread. We have nothing to fear in the days to come. I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. And guess what? We can be by surrendering our lives to the one who gave His life for us. Can you say amen? Amen. Wreath, would you come? And as our other ministers, as they come to the front here, and as we prepare here to pray for you, let's determine together that we as individuals and as the body then are one of those that God is raising up for such a time as this. And I believe, Sister North, again, these are the days that Daniel spoke about when he said, they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Let's all stand together. Again, this remnant are those who will stand on the Word of God, declaring it is written. Would you just declare that with me? It is written. And we will not be shaken or moved by circumstances. And so, as we close today, I encourage you to take some time again this week. Talk to the Lord. Meditate on His Word. And let Him speak to you as individuals. Determine that you will not be caught off guard, but you'll be ready and prepared for His return. Amen and amen. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I thank You today. I thank You, God, because You have given us everything we need to walk in victory. Lord, You just lead us. Lord, I want my heart again surrendered to You fully. I want everything You got for me. I want You to lead me by Your Spirit to show me in Your Word as I seek You on a daily basis. Lord, I give my heart to You again today. Take me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Oh, search my heart, God. I thank You today. I thank You for Your promises of protection. I thank You, Lord, that we have nothing to fear. Thank You, mighty God. Thank You for what You did for us on Calvary. Thank You for the blood that You shed and Your body being torn for us. We give You the praise today. Touch Your people. Speak to our hearts. Lead us, God. And I give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer as we are here today, we'll pray with you. God bless you. Whatever you're needing today. Listen, if you're not sure of your salvation, you can be today. God's ready. He's ready to fill you to overflowing. He's ready to give you more if you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And having that prayer language, listen, it pays to have a prayer language. The devil doesn't understand what you're praying. He'll give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says it's a gift. It's a gift to the believer. Hallelujah. I love you. God bless you. Won't you take a few moments as you're leaving today? Just greet one another. Let's just keep the noise level down as we're praying today. I'm telling you, God is ready. He's ready. If you've got some children you're worried about, you're praying for your kids, listen, we'll agree. We will pray with you. We will pray with you, Willie. If you've got some things going on in your life, something happening at your work, something happening in your families, listen, we'll pray with you. God's ready. God's ready. He's waiting for you to ask. He's ready to do for you. I love you. God bless you. In Jesus' name.